Okay, let's turn to the fifth book of Moses. What would that be? Do you know what it means? Deuteros Nomos? Second, the law was reiterated. Now, I want you to, if you have the King James, you can all stand anyway, but if you have the King James, I would like you to stand. All of you stand, but if you have the King James, I would like you to read with me verse 2 of chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. Here we go. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Father, I pray thou wouldst help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have a handout. I want you to take a look at this. Now, on the back side of it, I was happy. I ran this off earlier this morning, and I was satisfied that you couldn't read all those words, because I want you to listen to me. Where is this in geography? Sinai. I flew over this years ago. Now, what's this down here? Can you tell what this is, where this little dot is? That's Mount Horeb, which is also called Sinai. Do you see this? Can you read what's up there? Kadesh Barnea. Moses knew the children of Israel had been given the law when they were down here at Sinai, but they had wandered 38 more years. And he's restating the law. That's why the book is called the Book of Second Law, Deuteros Nomos. Now, what's he going to talk about? What is this all about? Okay, on the back, I'm glad that I still have this. Take a look at what I wrote underneath. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2, you have it there. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb, which is another name for Sinai, by way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. All right? Notice, this 11 days' journey was prolonged by one act of unbelief. How long was it prolonged? 40 years. They could have gone from there to the edge of the promised land in 11 days. You talk about being slow. Yesterday, Mary Lou, Chuck, and I were invited to the Phoenix Zoo. And we didn't make very good time, did we? We were with Vince Johnson and his wife, Christine, and three little ones. But we made better time than these guys. We've had an ex-Marine hiked the canyon with us several times, and a few years ago, the folks got nervous because he took off his shoes, and he walked, and his feet were bleeding. Pastor Malone, when we got down to that second chemical toilet, I had to say to him, Troy, put your shoes back on. These people don't want to see your feet bleeding. Anyway, Troy came to us. He made a little progress. Then he took one of our students and got married. Came back and made a little progress. He drove a Swift truck for a number of years. And when he would come into town, he would call me. He'd say, I'm parking my rig over here. Could we get together? So one night, I took him with some young people over to visit a gal, Helen Walgreen, who was giving us $100 a month to help needy students. And I said to the young people, introduce yourself. So we got around to Troy. He said, well, I'm Troy Wallace. I'm on the 14-year plan to go through a four-year program. Well, 14 years to go through 4 years is speedy progress compared to these Israelites. Look what this says. This 11 days. Now, where did I get that little note? I got it from the Schofield Reference Bible. You can go there and read it yourself. Israel's foolishness reflects three Hebrew words. How could I talk to you without a little bit of Hebrew? Brother Malone. Brother Hotel. Okay. Iwalet. That's a word that's rendered fool or foolish or folly. Do you struggle with this, Iwalet? This person is rebellious, quick-tempered. Here's one, Kasil. This fool is foolish, is obstinate. He rejects the fear of the Lord. Now, Mary Lou and I, our daddy was for 26 years in Florida. It's good to have the Rendon boys both here. When did the wandering one get back? When did he get back? I want to thank the Lord. Father, I thank you for your handiwork in our lives. I pray you'll bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyway, my daddy was down there. They had 250 acres, and he ran a lawnmower. And one of them was called a Kubota. Have you heard of Kubota? The Japanese built that machine. They called it a Kubota. The Hebrew word kabod means to elevate, to highly esteem. Honor thy father and mother. You want to know what the word is? Kabod. Do you honor your father and mother? I want to tell you, if you honor your mother and father, you're careful about how you speak to them and how you speak about them in their absence. Are you with me? Now, this second Hebrew word, what is a kasil? What is this kind of fool? He rejects the fear of the Lord. That is, he does not highly elevate God. How highly do you elevate God? Years ago, I had a fella. He had a sailboat. Paid $500,000 for it. Medical doctor, retired. And he said, I'm going to give it to you. Well, we knew it was worth $250,000. He was young in the Lord. He loved the Lord. And every time we were together, we had to have Bible word studies, which was okay with me. But later on, he said to me, Jerry, I can't give you that sailboat. I have to sell it and split it up with my family. You know what the Bible says? Better is it that thou shouldst not vow than what? Thou shouldst make a vow and not pay. So he gave us $35,000. But I said to him that day when he said, Jerry, I'm going to give you this sailboat. I said, Dick, what's it worth? He said $75,000. That's what he figured. Well, he was wrong. It was worth over $200,000. But in his mind, he had made a promise to give God $75,000. He gave me $35,000. Now he's with the Lord. If the Lord talked to him about that whole issue, how much do you think his estate owed us? In his mind, he was committing to $75,000. He gave us $35,000. What's the shortfall? I know that's high-level math. 75 take away 35. 40,000. You know what I said? My friend Dick, he really loved God, but he didn't have the fear of the Lord. Do you hear me? A kasil rejects the fear of the Lord. By the way, in Scripture, that person is reflected among those who practice sexual immorality. And then Nabal, you recognize that one, right? Nabal is a fool. It describes his inner disposition. He denies God. I think of that when we get to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. We're told in the closing chapter of 2 Peter, don't be surprised, in the last days, scoffers are going to come. And they're going to laugh at three things. The Bible record of what? Creation in 6 days. They're going to laugh at the destruction of the earth. Look at verse 6, 2 Peter 3:6. But no, don't look at it now. Because they want to say there's nothing ever happened supernaturally, because they want to reject the coming supernatural judgment of God, the second coming of Jesus. Okay. You know what they are? They're Nabal. By the way, this Nabal, inner disposition, they deny God, They're closed to God. They are reflected in gross immorality, like the practice of homosexuality. Well, that's quite a study in its own. But let's turn the handout over. And I have the handout mostly for me. Here we go. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Oh, mercy. I'm just amazed with these education people. So we were talking about a prime number. Anybody here, what is a prime number? A number that is only divisible by what? One in itself. What are the first prime numbers from 1 to 20? Two. A little louder. Three. Why did you skip 4? Because it's divisible by more than 1 in itself. So 5. Next. 7. 9. Not 9? Why not 9? It's divisible by more than 1 in itself. What's the next one? 11. 13. 17. 19. So here's what I said. The most advanced computers, if you take a very, very large prime number and multiply it by another very, very large prime number, the most powerful computers in the world cannot figure out what were those prime numbers. So that's used to help with security, right? Who told me that? Did you, Ember? I said, I can't believe it. She knew that. Now, wait a minute. Ember has a lot of knowledge. Plug your ears, Ember. Does that mean she's wise? Now, Brother Brock would say, yeah, it means she's wise. This says, wisdom is not the same as knowledge. What is knowledge? Listen to me. You gain knowledge by the senses. How many of you learn best by seeing? How many learn best by hearing? How many learn? How many don't learn? Oh no, don't. What's another sense? How many of you learn very well by taste? I have some muffins. Word of warning, Stephanie. They have nuts in them. I'm sorry. Okay. So we learn, we come to knowledge through the senses. How do we come to wisdom? Well, let's read on. One can have a lot of knowledge but lack wisdom. I'm not saying that about Ember. Wisdom is an attribute of God. Help me. You get it by what? Well, let's see if you can figure it out. Proverbs 2, verses 6 to 7 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. James 1, 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. So let's go back above 1a. How do you get wisdom? By asking for it. See, here's the deal. You come to knowledge by the senses. You get wisdom is making the best use of knowledge. Proverbs 4:5. I love this verse. Wisdom, we're told there, are the words from God's mouth. Hey, let's hold on to this. Wisdom, what is wisdom? Words from God's mouth. I hope you're filling in the blanks. Only one who accepts the ways of God can be truly wise. Okay? Wisdom is practical. By wisdom, a man learns to work. He chooses wise friends. Listen, every friend you have will do one of two things. They'll pull you up or what? Push you down. Somebody said push you down. Wise friends with whom to associate. Okay, wisdom displays personal humility and gains greater measure of wisdom. Okay, wait a minute. That's interesting. A strong emphasis in the Proverbs relates wisdom and speech. Are you wise? Well, people who listen to you will have their own opinion about that. Another word developing the idea of wisdom is musar. Now, that's a very interesting word. Some of you know. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs 1. Let me show you this. Proverbs 1, if you've heard me say it, I would beg you to forgive me. But the Bible says line upon line. Proverbs 1, notice verse 3. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, and no, I better stop with verse 2. Well, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, he put these words together for the sake of his son, Rehoboam, and other young men. He's saying, let me tell you why I'm giving you these pithy sayings. To know wisdom and instruction. You see that word instruction? That's musar. Now go to chapter 3, verse 11. Proverbs 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the what? You know what that is? That's musar. Wait a minute. Are you sure? Yeah, it is. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. Back again to the first chapter. Solomon said to his boy, look, I'm giving you this list of pithy sayings for you to receive instruction. That's musar. Look. Have you ever heard a parent, no, have you ever known of a parent to give a child a word lashing? That's musar. Guess how God wants to correct us? With words. What was that verse we looked at in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 2? How many days was it? 11. He had told them to go in and spy out the land. Where did the spies go? They went to Kadesh Barnea. It was on the edge. Get up there. Check it out. You see what you're going to take. But they forgot their task. And they chose to disobey God. Well, he wanted to guide them with his words. So I'm asking you. How much guidance are you getting? Brother Mike Bryson and I rode across France. And on the handlebars of my bike, behind my bike was a trailer. I was hauling stuff. But on the handlebars, I had a big container. And it was covered with plastic. And I kept a map under it. Guess why? I didn't want to get off the trail. Let's go to the end. Roman numeral 3 on the handout. Wisdom applied. Only when our life is oriented to God and His revealed viewpoint is applied to our daily experience can we become wise. The Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, it tells us four reasons, Scripture, four functions of the Bible. What's the first one? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for. Here it is. Doctrine means show us the way. Okay, the word is show. So I'm asking, will you know, here we are already March 1. So 2 months have gone by. I don't know how far you are in reading through the Bible this year. But all Scripture given by inspiration is profitable for doctrine. What's the next one? Reproof. That's a rebuke. The Scripture will rebuke us when we're off the path. Now, I so wanted to take Brother Mike and the others riding with us. I wanted them to see the Veterans, American Veteran Museum at Verdun. And I slipped up on the map. And we had gone several miles. I was not going to go back. Okay. Well, there are so many roads of these little roads we're riding that France has more roads than the dog has hair. And I wasn't gonna turn around and pull my load back a few miles to find it. But see, it was the map that rebuked me for having missed that turn. Guess how many in this people other than me make mistakes? Most everybody but my sister. Right. Okay, all scripture is given by inspiration, is profitable for doctrine, for proof. What's the next one? For correction. What do you know what that means? If you're in the Bible, it'll put you back on God's highway. And what's the last? Instruction in righteousness. The word instruction, gymnazo, means to train. Training us to stay on God's track. You ever get tired of falling off, messing up? You need to get in the book. Did you see where I skipped down? How far was I? Number four? Okay, yeah, thank you. Solomon asked God for understanding. That's a great thing. He is like 20 years old. He's coming to the throne. And he says, God, I'm like a little child. I'm asking you to give me wisdom and discernment. And God gave him both wisdom and understanding. Now, James 3:18 speaks of wisdom from above. Please, open your Bibles to James 3:18. This is a hard-hitting verse. James 3:18. This word above means heaven. In James chapter 3, we're told, well, don't try to be a teacher, because when you tell others the way they ought to live, you're going to be judged by what you tell others to do. And he goes on to say, you know what? We hurt one another with our words. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a very mature, perfect man. So that's a very interesting chapter. But I want you to go down to verse 17. He's saying, you know what? If you use your tongue, look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't be proud about that. Glory not and lie not against the truth. See, he's talking here about the fact that sometimes bad things and good things come out of our mouth. That ought not to be. He says, if bad things, cutting things, come out of your mouth, that didn't come from heaven. If you're cutting down one another and not using your tongue right, that's earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, and that happens from the wrong use of the tongue and every evil word. But wisdom that's from heaven, that's from above, is pure, peaceable, gentle. What is the next one? Okay, entreated comes from entreter in French. And the en means into, and traiter comes from Latin, tractare. Tractare means to pull. A tractor pulls, right? This is a monologamenon in Greek, and I'm glad the King James translators put it this way. He said, if you have wisdom from heaven, if Brother Chuck and I disagree on a point, he holds one position, I hold the opposite, he holds a position, I hold the opposite. You know what? If I'm not willing to quietly and seriously consider to be drawn into understanding his side, my attitude didn't come from heaven. The wisdom that comes from heaven is easy to be drawn, entreated, drawn into considering his side. How stubborn are you? How bullheaded are you? You go back and look at those Hebrew words on the flip side of the handout and ask yourself, does my conduct reflect that I'm one of these kinds of persons? Well, I better finish so we can go eat a muffin. Are you easily persuaded, compliant, where appropriate, not stiff, stern, obstinate, unyielding? Rather, are you willing to be entreated? And I tell you there, entreat is the same as entreat. It comes from the French, entreter. And from Latin, tracto, to feel wisdom, to entreat. Okay, you can read it. Now, wisdom in the Old Testament. The basic Hebrew word for wisdom is hakam. Not how come, hakam. The Hebrew word for understanding is bin. The Hebrew view is practical in focus. Wisdom expressed in, there you have it, godly living. Little letter C. Old Testament wisdom literature describes a lifestyle contrasting the wise and the foolish choices. Now, let's go to the New Testament. Wisdom in the New Testament. The Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. Maybe you've heard that. Yeah, I love that. That's a special word in Greek. In Greek culture, it represents unusual ability. Wisdom. 1 Corinthians verses, well, chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Corinthians addresses many problems that divided the church. The first problem Paul addressed was their forming cliques following what kind of wisdom? Human wisdom. The first problem Paul addressed, was forming cliques. I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. Human wisdom is foolishness to God. God's wisdom is what? Foolishness to the world. Correct perspective comes from access to the very thought processes of God. These thought processes have been revealed to us in the words taught by the Holy Spirit. Little Roman numeral 3. The Corinthians were acting naturally, not supernaturally. One must apply God's words. One is foolish when they follow human wisdom, not the words of God. So what about you? See, if you're a teacher and you are not taking the time to go to the Bible and see what it says on your subject, put it on if the shoe fits. Wisdom in practice in the New Testament. Paul prayed God would fill the Ephesians with a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul yearned for the Colossians to be filled. I am so thankful that I've been in those places. But the believers that were there, Paul yearned for the Colossians to be filled with a knowledge, treated with spiritual wisdom and insight. Colossians 3:16. The word of Christ dwelling in us alone enables us to teach and admonish each other in wisdom. What's the last blank? James said, if anyone lack wisdom, he should ask of God. James 3:18 carefully defined the characteristics of wisdom that comes from above. You got that? 3:18? I was reading it. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and not lie against the truth. Verse 15, this wisdom ascendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil word. But the wisdom that's from heaven, from above, is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Father, I pray that would help us. Lord, it's so easy to be busy, 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 and not take time in your word. And yet, wisdom is found in the words of God. How sad that the children of Israel chose not to listen. And they ended up 40 years in the wilderness instead of 11 days. Oh, Father, I pray thou wouldst protect us. I don't know if today is a decision day for some folks here, but you had a plan for the children of Israel, and they didn't listen. I think of that Hebrew word, Shamak, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. If we're going to hear, it's like to remember. It's a mental process, but we make it important, and we let it change us. Father, I pray. Now, I think today of this funeral going on. I would have loved to have been there for Jim. I remember he used to go to Arizona Breakfast Club. Lord, I don't know what the needs are of that family, but I pray thou wouldst bless in Jesus' name. Amen.